My series is on the delight in the Lord from Psalm 37. The first part of verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And this word delight was a big word, referring to being dainty, being prancing in daintiness. The idea of luxuriating in the Lord. So all of our hedonistic desires of fulfilling the flesh, he actually gave us these desires to be properly fulfilled, but we can even overindulge. We can luxuriate in the Lord. Today, I'd like to talk to you about delighting in loving others. I was reading some of the older writers, and they were describing disinterested benevolence. This means that you're being kind, but you're not getting into it, you know. They reasoned just in their reasoning. They brought their Christianity down to the point of duty in spite of heart's desire. I was talking to a fellow, and he says, everybody does things for selfish reasons. You be nice to people because you want to feel good about yourself. The problem with that kind of thinking is that this stuff isn't either or. You can have more than one reason for doing what you do. And what we find in the scripture is that showing the love of God to others ought to feel pretty good. So it's not wrong to feel good about doing what God says. C.S. Lewis, I think, understood this. He said, it would be a bold and silly creature that came before its creator with the boast, I'm no beggar, I love you disinterestedly. I'm not asking for anything. He says that would be a silly person. The fact is, we are needy. We are deprived of the great purpose for which God created us. There ought to be some sense of satisfaction in actually being the one and fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. In Jehovah God and in Him alone do we find what we need and what we deeply desire. So God revealed in both the Old and New Testaments that He did not ask for disinterested worship. In fact, just the opposite. God denied Israel's disinterested worship. Isaiah 1, 11 to 15. God says to them, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What's the purpose, you see, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear, literally, when you come to be seen before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Get off my lawn, he says. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity or grief, even your solemn meeting. Your new moon celebrations each month, your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. You're trying to pray? I don't care. When you make many prayers, when you multiply prayer, I will not hear. Why? Your hands are full of blood. God says that this disinterested worship, this worship without the heart involvement, He was disinterested in that. God-approved worship must engage the heart. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but to change it over. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. See, the point is not just doing it, but obeying from the heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that could be just a ritual statement, and shall believe in thine heart. See, it has to go down deep. That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let us settle in our thinking that bare bones ritual is not true worship at all. Rather, we should be like the psalmist who told God, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. So the point is this, it's not wrong to be joyful. It's not wrong to enjoy pleasures when they come from God. Our series text makes the psalmist's pursuit of joy and pleasure mandatory. Worship or delight in the Lord. We seek them in the Lord. We are to glorify God by enjoying him forever. So let me just take you through the thinking here. Number one, the core meaning of showing God's love focuses on others. We find that our life purpose is not about us. We are to esteem others better than self. Jesus illustrated loving our neighbor with the story of the Good Samaritan. And he took trouble to himself to help the needy one that was at hand. Even though he didn't know him, they weren't friends. That was loving the neighbor. So we understand that. However, what we have to understand is this cannot mean that we must not delight in the task. This is not something that has to feel bad or it doesn't count. See? So consider God himself. God is love. God delights in loving. God is ultimately fulfilled by loving. This is why he wants to continue that. That's why he wanted to expand that, to bring us into his loving family. Then, acknowledge that loving others has multiple effects. When we put self under our duty to others, we fulfill our life purpose. If we are fulfilling our life purpose, we should then feel fulfilled. We should feel happy because we are serving a proper and a good purpose. I think Paul touched on this in Galatians 6:4. See if you see this in this. But let every man prove his own work. Do his own job, see? Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Rejoicing in self. And he commends this. Because why? Because I did a good job. That was fulfilling, and I was fulfilling my purpose. Then again, I say, we are to delight in serving God and others. You think about the greatest of the commandments, Mark 12, 29 and 30. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. While love is the meeting of needs, it is not to be done heartlessly. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, this is the first commandment. So our love of God should engage our strength, which are the actions, our mind, which is the thinking, and our heart, which is the feelings, as well as our soul, and in this case, meaning the entire being. Jesus continued in Mark 12:31a, and the second is like. This word like means similarly. just as you would do this for God, so you do it with what God says to do. Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Now think of these requirements. To do justly, then secondly, to love mercy. Your heart got involved in that. It's not just doing an act of mercy. It's loving doing that, and to walk humbly with thy God. More than just doing loving things, we are to love doing it. So there is room to delight in the Lord when we obey his command to love others. It's okay to enjoy that. It's okay to feel good about that. The third thing then is to deal with what the scripture says. God's love seeks not her own. 1 Corinthians 13, 5b. Speaking of love, true Christian love, seeketh not her own. Now the question has to be asked, does God mean this to absolutely negate self? If so, we're back to the guy who says, we want to serve God with completely disinterested benevolence. Or does it merely put self in its proper place? I think that's it. Jonathan Edwards said this, and he's speaking of, the error that 1 Corinthians 13:5 opposes is not the degree in which a person loves his own happiness, but the error of his placing his happiness where he ought not, which would be limiting and confining love. This isn't against loving your own happiness. This is against making that more important than obeying God. And then the fourth thought is this: profiting properly by loving. I believe that the scripture, in this very context of 1 Corinthians 13, that says love seeketh not her own, actually implies that there is much to be delighted in, much to be profited by the doing of these loving things. Here's the passage, 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. You're familiar with it, but listen to it again. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, true Christian love, I'm become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Bang, 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 bang. Didn't mean anything. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, true Christian love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, true Christian love, it profiteth me nothing. So, to summarize, three things. Without God's love working in you, my language ability is meaningless, clanking cymbals. Without God's love, my knowledge makes me nothing. Without God's love, my sacrifices profit me nothing. But what does that imply? What condition exists then if we have the love of God? Let's bring the love of God into this. Well then, praise God, Pastor Miru's language ability is meaningful. Done out of the love of God. Brother Jeb's vast knowledge of history and almost everything else makes him something when it's applied with the love of God. And what about your sacrifices? Listen to the words. It profits me. I get something out of that. I get rewarded for that. Fifth thought. Selfless love engages our hearts. When we're saying, it's not about me, it's about others. 1 Corinthians 13:6, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but does rejoice in or with the truth. There's a rejoicing component to this. That's the enjoyable part of it. While rejoicing itself is saying words of joy, can be actions first, rejoicing will cause joy to follow. There's an old salesman adage. You're trying to be enthusiastic. But the point is this, they say, you don't feel enthusiastic? Act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. I have counseled married couples. I don't feel the love anymore. Do the loving thing, you will feel the love. Act loving and you will feel love. It's a natural consequence. So, this is not the picture of a stern-faced, disinterested person's love, rejoicing in the truth. The loving one rejoices in God's truth. Listen to Paul as an example. Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. 1 Thessalonians 2:20, for ye, talking to them as growing believers, ye are our glory and joy. The pastor sees growing believers under his ministry, takes real joy in that. So the Christian does not seek his own private joy, but he finds a greater joy in others' salvation and in others' growth, even when that demanded personal sacrifices. The sixth thought is this. Loving service is shown by deeds, but not limited to deeds. Let's not make it too restrictive. God's love is not having warm feelings. It is choosing to do loving deeds. We see this from the scripture. Warm feelings, as warm and nice as they are, warm feelings are not enough. James 2:16, and one of you say unto them, to the poor man that came, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body? What does it profit? What good was that? 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So we understand that warm feelings are not enough. However, works of love may cost sacrifices. Our personal pleasures may have to be limited as we choose to serve others as God commanded. So this is not all about our happiness, even though we find happiness in it. But let me bring out this other part, that God's love is not limited to deeds apart from the heart. Don't go there. We find the definition of God, of the God kind of love. Within that definition, there are aspects that engage the heart, the feelings. Listen to them. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. Verse 4, love is kind. 5, love doth not behave itself unseemly, meaning it has good manners. Love is not easily provoked. This is that word made sharp, made cutting. That's not love. So, not provoked, the opposite. Love thinketh no evil. This is, thinketh is keeping record. It keeps no record of evil. This is a heart matter, you see. Verse 6, love rejoiceth in the truth, with the truth. Verse 7, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This means love takes a heart attitude beyond the difficulties of the task. So when the joy of the Lord is your strength, you have abilities beyond your own. Let me close with the seventh thought, and that is delighting in the Lord overflows into delighting in loving others. Can you picture that? the love of God being poured into you, you delight in that, you delight in the Lord, but then it overflows. It overflows your heart. And then it turns into delighting in your love for others. We see this because God loves a cheerful giver. Paul revealed this while asking money for needy believers in Jerusalem. He's asking for a donation. We were talking about Pastor Cox and Melody Baptist Church asking for donations. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. This is not just automatic. Automatically doing it. Writing out the check or whatever. See? As he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Ritual would be necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. This word for cheerful, we get our word hilarious from this. Where you just get a kick out of doing this. There is something you get out of the giving. Paul commended the Macedonian church that was giving for this offering, and he commended their believer's gift to this special collection for the Jerusalem saints. And listen what he said. Notice this overflowing. 2 Corinthians 8:2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded, filled up, overflowed, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The joy overflowed into service. Still joy, but it was overflowing. And then God's servants love their ministry. I was thinking a while back about Brother Jeb's message where he was talking about defining the love of God. And the whole idea, he said, that he in himself is not a person who gets very excited about a lot of things. And I hear this a lot, you know, the emotional preacher is saying, are you excited about your Christianity? I'm going, well, I'm not sure. That's not the way I function, you know. I just don't do everything I'm excited about, and I'm excited about everything I do. But then I also remembered hearing him say that when he would discover this thing or discover that thing, he says, I got so excited. There is an excitement. Listen to Paul writing to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8, 4 and 16. Speaking of, the Macedonians were praying us, begging us, with much entreaty. You hear their heart in that? Much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Then in verse 16, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. The heart was involved. Titus wasn't disinterestedly going about his ministry business. He cared for the people. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. The elders, speaking of pastors, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's his command. Feed the flock of God which is among you. And this is the phrase, as much as in you is, with everything you have, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. This is the word for voluntarily. I'll do it. Not for filthy lucre, just payment, but of a ready mind. This is the word to be readily, willingly ready to do this work. And then we realize we are rewarded by God. You can't divorce this from your thinking. We will be rewarded by God, Acts 20:35. This is not something that takes us by surprise. It's something we know, something we remember. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, he says to these Ephesian elders, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You get the blessing as you give. And he says, that just can't take you by surprise. You're supposed to remember that he said that. Part of the motive. Here's my conclusion. Part of our service to man is our soul-winning efforts, being that watchman. Let us use this concept of delight to motivate them. As Jesus offered living water to the woman who had come to Jacob's well for water, so that she would never thirst again. See? He says, I have the ability to fulfill desires you don't even know you have. So we should engage the lost with their unsatisfied desires. Urge them to stop settling for the merely temporary. Matthew 6:19-20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. What happens to them? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Get the real treasure. Luke 12:33. Sell that you have, he says to the rich man, and give alms. Provide yourself with bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Stop focusing on self-interest that gains you only the things that pass away. Look to the things of God and the service of God, which load you with the benefits that are forever. Your old bags spill your goods. Gathered treasure runs out. Ask the lottery winners that declare bankruptcy. Thieves steal it. Moths eat it. What is he telling us? Trade it in for treasures in the heavens. So, let us not deny one scripture to affirm another. We must not negate God's promises of reward, but we must always remember that we delight in the Lord. Never forget our greatest reward, our eternal inheritance, is God himself. Delight in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you encourage us to actually delight in you, to seek for the joys and pleasures that are at your right hand. But Father, we ask that you might help us not to argue ourselves out of engaging the heart in loving others. This is the fulfillment of who we really are, of why we were made, of the goal that you have for us to become like the loving God as sons of God and live with you forever. I ask, Father, that you might help us then to rejoice in our duties, to do them whether we feel like it or not, but as we do it, to feel good about it. To be rejoicing in our fulfillment of our purpose. Help us then to delight in loving others, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.